For I withhold no good thing from those who hunger and thirst. Oh, I've called you to the well. I've called you to the fountain, the one that never goes dry. Leave those things that are of the world. Come unto me and drink freely from the waters of life. And I will refresh you. And I will strengthen you with manna from heaven. And you shall run a supernatural walk that the world understands not. And you will be a vessel through whom my will is done in the earth. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Drink deeply from my well, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. I'm going to get right into the lesson so I don't hold you till midnight. You can go to open up to 1 John chapter 5. We've made it to chapter 5. There are some that might think that I'm sort of stretching this series out. And to be honest with you, the exact opposite is the case. If you just don't know everything that I am not putting in these lessons, because I'm sifting and listening and checking with the Lord, and I write paragraphs and then I rewrite them and then I take things back out. This actually, as far to me as a teacher, is we're on lesson, 15 to 9? And to me, this is the bare bones. There is so much more. But it's enough, I believe, that it's going to change our walk. I keep getting reports now from all everywhere. People are saying, oh my Lord, truly it is getting the gray out of our gospel. Truly it is changing my walk and changing my understanding. And I know it's doing that with me. I can feel the change happening in me. And that's just the beginning. The best is yet to come. You hear me? You hear me? The best is yet to come. You haven't even begun to see God's best yet. So 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now see, the anointing came so strong I teared my glasses. Hang on a minute. I do need to be able to see to read this. Unless I have a supernatural healing right here during the service. But anyway, that could happen. That could happen. Hallelujah. I want to preface this lesson with this. Most people, oh God, that sounds arrogant. Many believers in the body of Christ know just enough of the Bible to be misled. Is that said well? And let me show you what I mean. If you take a verse, and I mean a verse that is pure and good, like the first half of this one, if you take it out of its context and start preaching that as like it's a full truth, you're going to take people to hell, I'll tell you right now. Now let me show you. That first part, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Now if you just lift that out by itself, ignore everything John has said for 14 lessons leading up to this. If you lift it up by yourself, you can. I know all kinds of people, lots, especially in America. Dave used to say it like this: you could go through the, you know, a person at the toll booth on the turnpike. We have turnpikes in Oklahoma. You got to pay money. I drive in all these other states. Anyway, I just don't go there. That's not. You could have that toll booth operator, you know, cars all day long. Of course, nowadays it's almost all automated. But in the old days, you had an operator. He could ask everybody in America, who is Jesus? And they say, well, he's the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ. And according to that, if you just lift that one verse out, every one of those people is born again. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that what it says? If you just lift it out by itself, no context, no setting, if you say if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. I know just myself, I know dozens of people who believe that Jesus is the Christ that are not born again. And you're going to see that really clear. I'm not even going to have to say anything. You'll just see it in the lesson itself. It is important. Oh, thank God for Pastor Dave, who taught us to leave every verse in its setting. Every subject is like a master painting, and every verse is like the stroke of the brush. And you have to have them all in context to understand what God is saying. So let's go on. I'm going to leave that. You'll just see it yourself in the course of the lesson here. See, in America, Christians use the phrase Jesus Christ. We use it so often, we almost think Christ is Jesus' last name. And it's absolutely not his last name. What it means is Jesus is the Christ. That's the Greek word for the old Hebrew word that means Messiah. And it's really talking about he is the Savior. He is the anointed one. He is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, John starts this off by saying, now whoso believeth that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, whoever believes that, they're saved. But see, the religious leaders of the day in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't believe he was the Messiah. And he warned them that if they continued in that state of unbelief until they died, he says, you're going to die in your sins. If you want to go to this first one, it's John chapter 8, verse 19. Remember, John is a faithful witness some 50 to 60 years later. He's just continuing to teach what he heard Jesus teach 55, 60 years ago. So go all the way back to John chapter 8, verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, oh, this is so important. You neither know me nor my father. Let's say it this way. You don't know me, and you do not know my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. Now, why is that so important? Well, remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? And I'm going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. These Pharisees could be some of those. If they don't ever believe that he is who he says he is, yet they served in religion their whole life. Lord, didn't we do this in thy temple? Didn't we do that? Didn't we teach? Didn't we whatever? But he's saying, if you don't believe that I am the Christ, if you don't believe I am the Son of God, if you don't believe I am the Messiah, if you don't believe I'm the Savior, you're going to die in your sins. And it doesn't matter your religious work. He says right here, they're already doing religious work, and he says, you don't know me. And you don't know my Father either. Okay? These words, verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Now remember, Jesus said later in John 14, he said to his disciples, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If these religious leaders continue, even though they're giving, you know, their occupation is serving God, their vocation is serving God, supposedly, in the temple, doing the things they do. But if they continue like that and they refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he says, you're going to die in your sins. You never will come to the Father, because I am the only way to the Father. You see that? All right, now continuing John 8. Well, then said, verse 19, then said they unto him, well, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, You neither, here we go again, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Well, then said the Jews, well, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, oh, now here we go. Here's Jane, see the ball again. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not, in the King James it says that I am he. You see that he is in italics. That isn't what he said. Unless you believe that I am. Now, who is I am? Who spoke from the burning bush? When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? You tell him I am that I am sent you. Later on, Jesus said that. He just responded, you know, who are you looking for? We've come to arrest Jesus. And we've come to arrest him. He says, I am. Wham! They all landed on their backs. Anyway, I taught that earlier in another lesson. For if you, but the point is, if you believe not that I am, that I am who I say I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, in this passage right here, this Jane, see the ball. I am from above. You are from beneath. I am not of this world. You are of this world. Jesus is saying we are of two different species. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. From a previous lesson that we've already taught in 1 John, we already know that Jesus has taught he is the door. He is the doorway by which anybody of the species of Adam can go through the door of Jesus's. They can be baptized into his death. And when they do that, they die to the species of Adam. And then they can be resurrected to new life as a child of God. And Jesus is the only door through which that can happen. That's a previous lesson. You literally get born again as a child of God. See, everybody that's listening to me, if you're born again, if you believe, we're going to get to believe, but if you have received Christ into your heart and you're born again, you know, you can say the same thing he said. So, here, let's say it. I am from above. I am not of this world. I am a child of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ. And I am not of this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I'm from above. Hallelujah. See, you're a different species. All right. Now, going back to that first statement, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. See, part of the problem is how we, in our modern day English, use that word believe. We don't really use it the same way that it was used in the Greek language during the time of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even when John wrote the epistle. See, in modern English today, we equate the word believe with simply having knowledge of. For example, many ancient and some modern cultures believe that there's many gods. Isn't that right? And there are many of them that believe that. Well, see, you as a Christian, you can, well, let's just say this. You as a modern American, don't even say that. You as a modern person. You say, these people that believe there's many gods, I don't believe that at all. I believe that there is only one God. Pat myself on the back, glory to God. I believe there's only one God. Well, aren't you something? I congratulate you. You have now risen to the level of demon faith. What? Yeah, James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God? But thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The point the Apostle James is making there is the same one John keeps making throughout this epistle. To scripturally believe in God implies much more than simply having knowledge about God. It's not enough to know that Jesus is the Christ. That is not what believing is. You'll see it here in a minute. Demons have that much knowledge. Did you know the demons knew who Jesus was when the Pharisees did not? You got to see this in your Bible. It's Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 25 we're going to look at. Yeah, the demons in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had more knowledge. They were more advanced than the Pharisees and the Sadducees when it came to understanding who Jesus was. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Lord, leave us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Now here it is. I know thee, who thou art. Now notice, the Holy One of God. That devil knew who he was. The devils had more faith than the Pharisees, if you want to call it faith. It really wasn't faith, not scripturally. They had knowledge. You'll see, it's even better here in a minute. This is why that devil was saying, you're the Holy One of God. That's just another way of saying you're the Messiah. You're the one that's come. You're the one that was promised. Is that devil saved? But he said it. You see it? Okay. I hammer on this a little while. It's okay. I know who thou art. No, excuse me. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. But the point is, the demons had that much faith. The faith that is not believing. It is knowledge. What did that devil believe? According to James, there is one God. Didn't James say that? Even the devils know that. And number two, that devil knew Jesus was the Holy One of God. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. But yet John says, that first part of that verse, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, that demon believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy One of God. Was that demon saved? For benefit of the video. Was that demon saved? No, of course not. Well, what's going on here? See, and again, the problem is in our modern English language, how we translate, how we treat that word believe. It doesn't mean the same thing to us as what those people heard when it was spoken in the Greek language. So I went to the... before we do that, I want to look at what James said. I just picked out that one sentence. Let's look at what James said there in the context. Go ahead in your Bible, turn over to James chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to look at the difference between having knowledge of and saving faith. There's a big difference. So James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, oh, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. I love this. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Glory to God. Can't preach right there. I want too bad. Verse 19. Thou believest. Here's that verse. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, now remember this phrase, Abraham believed God. We want to believe God. Okay, and we're coming back to that. Abraham He didn't believe God like the demons. Abraham believed God. We'll come back to that in a minute. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You know, did you know Jesus called you his friend? He put a little condition on it, but he called you his friend. We're going to see it here in a minute. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, Gary talking. See, the demons believe in the sense that that devil had knowledge that there's only one God. And that devil had knowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. But demons do not do the sayings of Jesus. Did you get that? Demons do not do the commandments of Jesus. They have knowledge without works. Let me say it this way. They may have heard, but they most certainly do not do. See that? They have knowledge, but they don't believe like Abraham believed. When God spoke to Abraham, Abraham always acted on what God said to him. Always. Get thee out of thy house, or get thee out of thy country. Go to a land that I shall show thee. On and on. So many things. And if I get involved in that, we'll lose the whole lesson. But you know how Abraham obeyed God. Okay. So I wrote this. This contrast up there earlier, it says, well, the demons believe that Jesus is that there's only one God. They believe that and tremble. And that devil knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God. He knew he was the Messiah. Sure didn't make them saved. So what's the difference in a demon believing? I'll say it this way. What's the difference between demon faith and saving faith? It's obedience. See, Abraham believed God. Now, how did he believe? What made him different? He believed by obeying what God told him to do. God calls Abraham his friend because Abraham obeyed the commandments. Jesus calls us his friend if we obey his commandments. You don't have to turn there. That's John 15:14. You are my friends, the red letters, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, that Greek word translated believe is so much different than our modern understanding of the English word believe. The Amplified does a much better job of bringing out the original meaning. What the people heard and understood when they heard that word believe in that day. So let's look at one of the most fundamental verses, foundational verses of all Christianity. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible because it's more accurate to the Greek. And it's just John 3:16. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you out of the Amplified. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten son so that, only begotten unique son, so that whoever, now here it is, whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies upon him shall not perish, shall not come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Here is the difference between demon believing and salvation believing. Demons believe that there is only one God and that Jesus is the Messiah. But I'm telling you right now, they do not trust in, cling to, and rely upon him as the Messiah. They have knowledge, but they have never bowed, and they do not do. Okay? James is saying the obvious about what it means to believe. If what you, quote, believe does not change your action the way it did Abraham, it is not saving faith. It's just knowledge. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is just knowledge. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, your personal Lord and Savior, you will, one, trust in him and his words more than you trust your own eyes, your ears, your emotions, or even your reasonings. Number two, you will cling to Him no matter the seductions sent your way by the world. Number three, you will rely upon Him and His words, His anointing, His power, His grace. You'll rely upon Him and His words more than you trust anything else, even your sense knowledge in the world. It's going to take that to walk on some water. It's going to take that to open some blind eyes. It's going to take some of that to stop some storms. You hear me? You cannot truly believe scripturally that Jesus is the Messiah unless you keep His commandments. Keep everything in the context of John's epistle up to this point. Remember the early lessons that we've already taught. Number one, what did John say? If you do not keep His commandments, you do not know Him. Did you get that? Sub thing. If you can have knowledge of Him, like the demons do, but you cannot know Him as being part of the family unless you keep His commandments. And number two, John said, if you do not keep His commandments, you do not love Him. You can say you love Him. You can attend worship service. You can sing songs and cry and weep. But Jesus plainly said, He that loves Me keeps My commandments. And he that loveth Me not, he keepeth not My word. So now with all of that in mind, let's go back to 1 John. Go back to 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at that first phrase again. I think it's so important. I'm telling you right now, I am telling you by the Spirit of God, there are minimum tens of thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of Christians who think they are Christians, who are not Christians at all. They do believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they have demon-level faith. They have knowledge. He is not their Savior. He is not their Lord. They do not bow the knee to Him. They do not trust in, cling to, and rely upon Him. And on that day, He'll say, depart from Me. I never knew you. Did you find it again? 1 John 5, verse 1. Gary, are we going to get past verse 1? Hopefully. We'll see. We're only on the first half of verse 1 so far. And I'm being tight with this. All right. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Let me say it this way. Whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies upon Jesus, who is the Christ, by keeping His commandments, that is the person who is born of God. In the context of the whole letter, this is what John has been saying all along. Here is what it truly means to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Number one, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world. You've got to believe that, all right. But number two, to believe that Jesus died to save you from sin. And number three, to believe that He has given you the light of life to empower you to walk above darkness the same way He did. John's been teaching all of this. All this is in the previous lessons. And number four, to believe it by walking in the light of life, by denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Remember last week we went to Titus 2:11? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Anything less than that is just mental knowledge, not saving faith. If you believe Jesus is your Savior, you will trust Him, cling to Him, rely upon Him by doing what He says to do. Jesus said that was the only path of safety. And I'm not going to have you look to it again, but you know it really well. Why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? The person that hears and does not do is like building his house on the sand, and the storms came and beat on the house, and great was the fall of it. But the man that heard My sayings and did them, he's like a man that digged deep, founded his house upon the foundation, upon the rock, and when the storm came, that house stood. Glory to God. But it's only the person that hears and does. Why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Remember, I don't want to skip anything here. If you want him to know you, see, Matthew 7:23, I'll tell you one thing I don't ever want to hear. I don't ever want to stand before him and have him say, I don't know you. I want him to see me long way off. Hey, Gary, come here. I've been waiting on you, son. Come on. Come right here. Gary, come. That's what, don't you want that? Only you want him to call you by your name, right? I've been waiting on you. I know he said that to Helena. Helena went home the other day. Helena, come on in here, girl. That's family. I don't ever want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Dear Lord. See, Jesus said the only place of safety is to be a hearer and a doer. That's the one that believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him. See? Now remember the previous lesson. As he is, so are you in this world. You really are family. You really are born again. And the last one on this subject, Luke 8:21. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. Not just hearers, those that hear and do. All right, now we're going to go to the second half of the verse. I'm going to read it again, 1 John 5:1. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I think we've got that squared away now. Okay? It's way more than just have knowledge of it. And everyone that loveth him that begat, who's that? That's the Father. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Okay? Simple. We're all family now. I say again, I got blood relatives in Shawnee and Oklahoma, Seminole, Oklahoma. I had so many cousins that there's cousins I'll never meet in my life. There are so many of us. And some of them I know really well though. I mean, I have blood relatives, I have blood family, and I love them. Well, I love them. Some of them I love by faith. Some of them I love really well from a distance. Anyway. But I do love them. They're family, okay? But see, really, and this is true. You right here and you there, if you're born again, genuinely, you are more my family than my blood kin. You really are. We're not of this world anymore, see? We're family. I cannot possibly love our Father without loving you. That does not mean everything will always be honey smooth between us. We are all being pruned, having dead branches removed. See, I don't mind so much if he takes off the dead branches. When he comes after one that's putting out some fruit, I'm going, hey, that's where you've partially obeyed him. No amen. Did you hear any? I didn't hear a single amen. He's going, okay, well, that's good, but I'm going to prune that. Wait, no, we already been there. No, I need more fruit than that. Clip. You know, 1 year they pruned this mulberry tree that we got out of here at the corner by Dave's office. I don't know. This was quite a few years ago. Whoever pruned that thing? I thought sure it was dead. I mean, that's a pretty mulberry tree. I like that tree. I come driving down here one day, and that poor thing wasn't nothing but a stub hardly. I mean, it was like, you know, a little tiny little stub sticking out. I thought, who in the world butchered that tree? You ought to see that thing now, though, see? Whoever did that knew what they was doing. Man, that thing come back bigger and stronger and better and puts off more mulberries than it ever did before. And that's exactly what God's doing with you. But sometimes while it's happening, you go, I feel all stubby. You didn't leave nothing but a stub this time. Even my Bad Company album's gone now. Anyway, but we're all being pruned. It doesn't mean everything's going to be honey smooth. You know, we don't always agree on every single thing, but boy, we are family. We are serving the same Lord. You do what he's called you to do. I'm going to do my best to do what he's called me to do. And if we do that, we're going to get this done. Amen. All right. We're all being pruned, having dead branches removed, and having fruit-bearing branches pruned to bear more fruit. We're all maturing and growing up into Christ. There will be misunderstandings and I called it family squabbles along the way. Do you know any family where there's not any squabbles? Maybe there is one. Jesus had some squabbles with his earthly family. Okay. But we're still family. See? And it's my honor to co-labor with you, even if we don't agree on everything. Even if we don't. As we serve the same Lord for our Father's will to be done on this earth. Now, John is still teaching what he heard Jesus say more than 50 years before. John 15:12. You don't need to turn there. This is my commandment, that you love one another. That's so important. As I have loved you. All right, next verse. We're making it to another verse. 1 John 5:2. Now, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. By this is very important. How to say, do you love the children of God? I sure do. Well, how do you know you do? I just told you I do. I'm asking you, how do you know that you love the children of God? Oh, when I keep His commandments. You'll see it here in a minute. See, Jesus told us to love each other the same way that He loved us. Now, this one you better see in your Bible. Go to John 15, verse 9. Again, it's just amazing to me how John is just faithfully teaching what he heard Jesus teach half a century earlier. He's not adding to, he's not taking away. It's just being a faithful witness. 1 John 15, verse 9. No, excuse me. The Gospel of John 15, verse 9. Jesus teaching, red letters, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. How do I do that, Jesus? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, did you catch that part? He tells us, I want you to love your brother as I have loved you. And he told us how he did that in the first part of that. He says, I have kept my Father's commandments. That's how He loved us. Jesus is saying, I have been the example for you. I have kept my Father's commandments so you can see what love toward the Father looks like. If you love me, keep my commandments so that the world can see what love towards God looks like through you. Love the world the same way I have loved you. I have loved you by keeping my Father's commandments. Love each other by keeping my commandments. I have laid down my life for you, my friends, and you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It might help to see the opposite side of love for the brethren. I can tell already we need to do this. Remember, over and over again, Jesus would say, follow me as I follow the Lord. Mark them that so walk, so you have them as an example. Jesus is saying, you have seen how I have loved you. I have loved you by keeping the Father's commandments. I want you to love others by keeping my commandments. That's how simple it is. But let's look at the flip side. Let's look at someone that absolutely does not love the brethren. You know for sure they doesn't love the brethren. And let's see. Yeah. I don't have very many scriptures here. You can just let me read you a few here. It might help to see the opposite flip side of the coin. Let's look at somebody who does not love the brethren. You remember the guy, 1 Corinthians 5:1, the guy that had his father's wife? 1 Corinthians 5:1 says, this is Paul, it says, it is reported commonly, it means everybody knows this. This is not being done in secret, this is common knowledge. that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. I always like to add, I hope to God that was, I hope that was his stepmom. Or it'd be, maybe not. I didn't say. Now, this sin was so wicked that Paul says even the heathen, the pagans, they won't approve of this. And you're allowing it in the church. Yet this man who was living in such open, gross wickedness was coming to church on a regular basis, claimed to be a Christian in good standing with God. And whether he ever said it with his words or not, I don't know. But I can tell by his actions, he was loudly proclaiming that God's grace covers fornication. Even to the depths of fornication that Paul describes there, which even the heathen won't allow. But this guy's coming without shamefacedness. Coming to church. I bet he lifted his hands during worship. First off, let's just ask a few questions. Let's first John this for a minute. Is this man keeping the commandments of Jesus? No, he is not. From John's epistle, what does that tell us? He does not know Jesus, and he does not love Jesus. Over and over again, John's been saying that again and again. If you do not keep his commandments, you do not know him. And if you do not keep his commandments, you do not love him. Right? But it also tells us something else. He does not love the brethren. He does not love the children of God. Paul, on the other hand, you'll see this clear. Paul, on the other hand, was not only concerned for this guy being saved. Paul was concerned about the brethren in the church who were going to be influenced by this man's open rebellion if something hadn't done about it. So in the same letter, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:6, he said, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Paul is saying, if you allow this false doctrine of lascivious grace to remain unchecked, if you don't do anything about it, it will begin to spread through the church like a cancer. Paul loves God, and he loves those begotten of God. Can you see the difference? He loves the sheep, and he will not allow this wolf to come in and carry off the sheep into sin and eventually into hell itself. Paul is not going to allow that. See, Jesus said he showed us the love of God by keeping his Father's commandments. Why? So we, as children of God, would have his example to safely follow. This man in Corinth is showing just the opposite of loving God and loving God's children. He's breaking the commandments, and by his action, he's saying God's grace covers it anyway. This man does not love God. He does not have, and he does not love the children of God. You know what this man cares about is getting his flesh satisfied. Now, that's what he loves. That's his God. He does not care about obeying Christ at all, and he doesn't care how many of the sheep he infects with his false doctrine. He doesn't love God, and he doesn't love the children of God. Now, the Apostle John has plainly said in his epistle that those who live in habitual sin, those who live a lifestyle of fornication, they are not the children of God. You may want to go back and review that lesson. It was lesson number 9 in this series, the children of God and the children of the devil. Okay? But he was really emphatic about it. Now I put a note here to preachers. I'm going to look at preachers. If you're a preacher and you say that this man that had his father's wife is a child of God just having trouble with his flesh, I'm asking you to please reconsider. John doesn't believe that. And Paul doesn't believe that. Paul concludes his discourse about this man who had his father's wife with this statement. And it's 1 Corinthians 5:13. "But them that are without God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Now, that word wicked is Greek Strong's number 4190. It is P-O-N-E-R-O-S. It means bad, evil, grievous, harm, lewd, malicious, wicked, wickedness. You will never find in Scripture. And how I know? I've already checked for you. Over 70 times that word is used in the New Testament. Not once is it ever used to describe a Christian. A really born-again person. Not once. It's always used in connection with the wicked. Back to 1 John. We're going to make it to verse 3. Come on. I know these aren't shouting messages, but you'll shout later. You'll shout later when you'll say, David, I know you. I've been waiting on you. Come on. Get on in here. Jared, I've been waiting on you. We want him to know us. Now, 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. If you underline, you ought to underline the word is. This is the love of God. That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Now see, the Apostle John keeps stating the same truth over and over again in this epistle. When he writes, for this is, he is literally giving you the very definition of what loving God is. This is. This is the love of God. What? What is? This, what I'm about to say, this is the love of God. Well, what is it? That we keep his commandments. Can you see that plain? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Nothing else is. Nothing else is the love of God. Again and again, John says in this epistle, he that says he knows God and says he loves God, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. He may be a deceived liar, but he's a liar just the same. And then John says, and his commandments are not grievous. If you look that word up, it's Strong's G926. It is spelled B-A-R-U-S. And it means weighty, heavy, burdensome, grave, or grievous. Well, what verse comes to mind there? What the sayings of Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now here it is, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. John is saying, his commandments are not grievous. They're easy and they're light. A person with a legalistic mindset will hear these lessons about 1 John and they'll go, easy, light, learning all those commandments and obeying all those commandments. How can you say that is easy and light? Remember Pastor Dave always said, you know, it's not hard to love when that's what you are. That's the whole message of 1 John. It is not a matter of legalism and rules and touch this and don't touch that and feast days and new moons and all of that old covenant stuff. The message of Christ and the message of 1 John is this. Walk as the child of God that you truly are. Just repent and believe the gospel. Believe this good news. Know and believe the love that the Father has shown you by making you his child, by giving you the standing of sonship, by placing in you the same life that he has put in Christ, and who also gave you his Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. You've got to believe that. Stop trying to be religious and just be the Son of God he's already made you to be. And I went like this. I wrote, relax. Take a deep breath. Go. I am his child. I am a child of light. All he's asking of me is that I walk as who he's already made me. I wrote, I got this. You got this. We're not talking religion. We're talking life. We're talking life. This is what the Father has done for you. He's just saying, believe it and walk in it. You won't have to memorize a whole. See, the love. If you learn to let that love mature on your fruit, mature on your fruit. If you let love mature on your limb, you're not going to steal from your neighbor. You love your neighbor. You're not going to sleep with your neighbor's wife. You love your neighbor. You love your wife. You wouldn't do that. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Same. Okay, I got to keep going here. I have a certain place I want to make it. We're getting close. Okay. I can't wait for Sunday. Anyway. How did Dave used to say that? Have you ever feared anything in your life? You know, he was talking about conference. I would live in tremendous fear of missing this conference. You know, I'm telling you, if you ever feared, don't miss Sunday. You're going to like Sunday. Everything in me not to have locked the doors and preach it tonight. All right. Pastor Dave would always say all the time, it's not hard to love when that's who you are. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not hard to walk as a son of God when you know that's who you are. That's all he's saying. That is really the whole letter. Stop trying to be religious and just be the son of God. He's already made you. Relax. Take a breath. You got this. You are a child of God. You are a child of light. He's just saying, walk as a child of light. Now notice how the phrase, this next verse, verse 4 we're going to, notice how the phrase born of God connects to the next verse. So 1 John 5, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God is that you? You're born of God, aren't you? Whatsoever is born of God, now notice, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is, verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now you've got to get this point. John is an excellent teacher. Everything he teaches is built on a truth he already taught previously in this letter. To understand this verse, you should go back and review lesson number 4, which is love not the world. Okay? John's already laid the foundation for this. Now, Jesus said in John 15, you don't need to turn to any more of these, we'll run out of time. John 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now remember that earlier lesson in John's epistle? The world hates you the same way that Cain hated Abel. You remember that? Remember how he used that example when he was talking about the world? You are a child of light. Just by being who you are, you expose the darkness. And the world hates you for it because men love the darkness. And they don't want to come to the light because their deeds are evil. You stand up for righteousness even today. It may get worse. You stand up for righteousness today. They're going to call you a hater. A bigot, intolerant. What, that's so funny. They call us intolerant. They are the most intolerant people I have ever met. They're only tolerant as long as you agree with them. You disagree with them and boy, they're ready to do to you like Cain did to Abel. Okay? So you got to remember all of that in the context of what John is writing here in verses 4 and 5. See, Jesus said as long, in John 9, 5, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And see, during that time, he was the only light of the world. He was the only man before the resurrection. He was the only man who had that light of life. But Jesus, so he was the only light of life during that time. But in verse 28 of John 16, he says, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world. And I go to the Father. So now he's about to leave the world and to be again with the Father. He, in his own physical body, will not be here to be the light of the world any longer. So he is leaving the world, but we are to remain here in the world. Now we literally are his physical body on planet Earth, and we have to be the light. We have to be the salt. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Do you remember the previous lesson? The world hates you. God's trying to save the world through you. But if you respond with hate back to the world, the salt has lost its savor. You become useless for the kingdom. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but you're useless. Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Isn't that right? Okay, that's... You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. Now, Jesus is leaving at this point. He's going back to the Father, and he's telling them plain, as long as I was in the world, I was the light, but I'm going back to the Father. Now, I'm putting that same light in you, and you now are the light of the world. And I'm telling you, you let your light shine. Let it shine, let it shine, that men can see the works that you do. Let me read it exactly like he said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But some of them are going to see your good works and are going to hate you like Cain hated Abel. And you don't be surprised by it. He is warning them again. If the world hated me, it will hate you. If the world persecuted me, it will persecute you. Now, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Do y'all know what tribulation means? Trouble. They hate you. You start really standing, you start really shining and letting your light shine and standing up for truth. They'll start maybe egging your car, egging your house, but it can get worse than that. Really worse than that. But be of good cheer. Oh, I have overcome the world. And now we've made it to verse 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. We are born of God. Jesus overcame the world. And we overcome the world. Neither persecution, talking about Jesus. How did he overcome the world? Neither persecution, temptation to sin. It says he was tempted in all points like we are. The promise of all the kingdoms. Remember the devil, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Just bow. Nope. So neither persecution, temptation to sin, the promise of the kingdoms of this world, the deceitfulness of riches or the lusts of other things. Nothing that the world threw at Jesus and nothing that the world offered Jesus could cause him to disobey God and bow his knee to Satan. And what he's saying is, as he, remember the previous lesson, there's a reason John taught that first. As he is, so are we. In this world, it does not matter the persecution. It does not matter the temptation. It does not matter if he switches and starts offering you all the kingdoms of the world. We overcome the world. We are the light. We are the salt. We stand up for the truth. We stand up for the truth of the gospel no matter what. He overcame the world and we overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You're a child of God. As he is, so are you in this world. Get God. Hallelujah. All right. One more. Verse 5 now. Now, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, remember what it means to believe. I know a lot of people, you could just ask them, is Jesus the Son of God? Oh, yeah. They live like the devil, go to the bars, live in all kinds of sin. But if you ask them, is Jesus the Son of God? Oh, yeah. It's not saving faith. That's just knowledge. Remember what it means to believe. Notice it says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. See, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We acted on that faith when we repented of sin and believed the gospel. And we know that we are now born of God. We have that same light of life within us that he has within him. We have, all the lessons leading up to this, we have known and believed the love that the Father has bestowed upon us by making us sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have the glory of sonship. He gave us the standing of sons, and we are obedient sons just like the firstborn, Jesus Christ. We overcome the world the same way He overcome the world, by being the sons of God that we truly are. We will not bow. We will not break. We will not bend. We are set like a light on a hill for all the world to see. We are children of light. The world is darkness, and we have no fellowship with it. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We walked as He walked. Jesus overcame the world, and we overcome the world. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Pretty good. 1 hour, I think. Hallelujah. Good students. I know this. For me, this is running and shouting stuff because I know what's coming. I'm telling you, this is narrowing my path. I love it. I love it. I love it. Before this is over, a lot of people are going to get saved that think they're already saved. Yes, sir. I'm not going to wait until then. If you are one tonight, like one of these that says, I know who Jesus is. I know He's the Son of God. I know He's the Messiah. But you're living like the devil. You're living in sin and fornication. You're living in drunkenness and drug abuse. You're not saved, sir. You're not saved, man. You can be saved tonight and know it. Believing is to trust in, cling to, rely upon Him. Repent of your sin. Jesus, He will literally birth you again if you ask Him. You can become a new creature, a very child of God, a literal born-again child of God on planet Earth. You become a child of light, and you can begin walking that way. Everyone just repeat this with me. It won't hurt you. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me. I want to follow You. I'm asking You, Lord, change me. Remake me. Birth me by Your Spirit. Put that law of life on the inside of me so I can be born again. I believe in You, Jesus, but now I'm clinging to, trusting in, and I'm relying on You. Make me a new creature. Make me a son of God that I can walk with You in this earth and I can be a child of God, a child of light that walks as a child of light. Father, fill me with Your Spirit. Thank You, Father, for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are born again if you prayed that prayer. You're a child of God now. You're going to start hearing Him from the inside out. You'll start hearing Him. He's going to start pruning limbs, conforming you to the image of Christ. Every time He does, you bow the knee. You let Him do with you what He wants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.